My friends, it's great to see you today and to get to see you enjoying one another. We, on this fourth Sunday of Advent, are going to continue in our time of preparing for the birth of Christ. And today we will continue in our efforts and do that. I invite you to hear our scripture today from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Hear this well-known story. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, come be with us. Use us in this time as a way to draw closer to you. Prepare our hearts so that what is said will be used in our lives in a special way, preparing us, Lord, for the birth of our Christ. Use us, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. May what we see and what we hear today, Lord, be pleasing to you. May it be of you, and may your Spirit work through here today, Lord, in Christ's name. Amen. Well, friends, our scripture today is one very familiar to you. Oftentimes we might hear from Mary or we might hear from the angel, but today I'd like us to hear from a less known person, from his perspective. I'd like us to hear from Joseph, from his perspective of what happened in that time. Joseph, would you come? Joseph, thank you for coming today. Welcome to Rehoboth in Gallatin, Tennessee.
It is my pleasure.
We want to learn from you today, so thank you for letting us interview you to have a little time with you. We've put
Glad
you some water there. I know you've come a long way. It might be a thirsty trip.
The Judean desert is very, very dry. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming and sitting. And let us interview you. Let us have some time to get to know you, because so often we know about Mary, we know about the angel, but we don't hear a lot about you. Mm. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Who's Joseph?
I was born in Bethlehem and grew up there. I participated in the trade with my fathers before and their fathers before them, and my trade was carpentry. I built things out of wood, and oftentimes what my father and I built were plows, and we also built yokes for oxen. So those are the kind of things that we did in Bethlehem. And the thing I remember the most is growing up and being a part of the synagogue, the local synagogue, where I went, and I learned to read and write in Hebrew. And I also learned a lot about the Lord just from reading the Torah and understanding how God wanted us to live and who God was. So I'm thankful for those days that I lived and that I grew up in Bethlehem.
Thank you, Joseph. So you spent a lot of time studying. You spent a lot of time doing carpentry. I know everybody here wants to join me in asking you this. We heard this morning earlier Justin Wilson, who is recently engaged. Mm. He's going to be married. And For us today, being engaged is a time preparing for the wedding and the marriage. You spend time buying a dress and sending out invitations and getting gifts and having parties and doing all that kind of stuff that goes along with being engaged. Well, we know that Mary was pledged to you. What does that mean? Is that like being engaged? Y'all have parties and stuff?
Not exactly. In my time, to be engaged was to use the word that we probably would have used to be betrothed to someone. Literally meant that you had promised to marry them. The year of betrothal was a year in which the bride and the groom got to know each other. Typically, they spent time getting their new household ready. They spent time with each other's families, and they really spent a lot of time trying to get prepared and get ready for their wedding, which was typically a year after the betrothal. The big thing was is that a betrothal was like a legal contract, and it could not be broken except by divorce. That's the only way that a betrothal could be broken.
A whole year. Wow. Well, this might be a little sensitive me asking, but I know we all want to know, how did you learn Mary was pregnant?
Well, actually, she told me. And she told me that an angel had come to her, and that this angel had said that the child was of the Holy Spirit, and that she didn't need to be afraid, and that everything was going to be okay. My response, unfortunately, was that I was not sure that things were going to be okay, and I wasn't sure at all that she was telling me the truth. And it was very hurtful and very, very hard to hear her say that she was pregnant.
I can't imagine how that made you feel, Joseph.
It was one of the most difficult things that had ever happened in my life. I had expected that Mary and I would get married in the year to come, that we would have our children, that we would have a happy life together. And when she shared the news with me, it was devastating. It was hard to hear, and it was very, very troubling. Very troubling.
Well, I hear it was so troubling. You planned to quietly divorce her?
That's right.
Why
actually,
that?
Actually, in our culture, I had several options. The first option was that I could have gone ahead and gotten married to Mary. We could have gone ahead and gotten married. That would have brought shame upon both of us. People would have assumed that the baby was mine, that we had not waited. And it would have been a very, very tough time. And honestly, after Mary shared this information with me, I wasn't really sure that I wanted to be married to her. I could have abandoned her. I could have just left. I could have gone to another city, to another place. In our culture, this was really frowned upon, and there were severe penalties, financial penalties, legal penalties. If I had run off, they probably would have found me, and we would have been, again, shunned for that. Another option I had is I could have brought Mary before the council and could have said that she was pregnant, that she had not been faithful to me, in which case she probably would have been stoned. She probably would have been stoned to death. But because I loved Mary, because I cared about her, I resolved that I was going to take the fourth option that was open to me, and that option was to divorce her quietly, not to make a big deal out of it, and try to go on with my life.
You had a lot to risk.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The shame and the guilt, the pain, the frustration, it just didn't seem like any of the alternatives were good, but the one that I decided would be the least painful for all of us would have been the divorce option.
Well, Joseph, I can't imagine how you hear this, that she's expecting a child from the Holy Spirit. And then you've got to decide what to do for you, for her, for the culture. Gosh, what a big decision. And so you decided the right thing to do would be just to quietly divorce her.
That's
for
right.
You and her, that would be the best thing. But you ended up not doing that.
That's right. I didn't.
What happened? How did you change your mind after all that time and thought and effort you put into figuring out what to do? What changed your mind?
Well, I'd spent much time in thought and in prayer about this with the Lord. I'd brought it to the Lord, and I thought that the divorce was the best option. And then one night, an angel came to me in a dream. It was a very vivid dream. I remember it like it was just yesterday. And the angel said, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Mary's child is of the Holy Spirit. You need to marry her, and you need to name this child Jesus, because he's going to be a very, very special child." Well, I woke up the next day from the dream, and I remembered it, and I believed that what God wanted me to do was God wanted me to go ahead and get married to Mary and bring this child into the world, just as the dream had said.
So that dream, you listened, you responded, and you just went and did it? You changed
Absolutely.
Your every thought and plan and just did it?
Absolutely. Surely you are familiar with the Torah, the first five books of your Bible, the books that I spent my life studying, and you know that there are plenty of examples in the Scripture of people who were spoken to by God, people who had dreams, people who changed their course of action, who did what God wanted to because they believed that God had spoken to them. So I felt that this was the way that God had spoken to me. God had spoken to other people. It was in the Scriptures, and I knew it was the right thing for me to do. I knew it was.
So you knew it was the right thing to do. You were putting your teachings in action.
Yes.
You were applying, you were really modeling that you were a righteous man. But were you afraid? I mean, the consequences had to be enormous.
There was a lot of fear. I didn't know what was going to happen next. Sometimes when I had a tough day, I thought maybe that I was crazy. I thought maybe that Mary was crazy. I thought maybe the whole situation was crazy, but I believed that God had spoken to me. I believed that God had spoken to Mary, and ultimately I knew that I had to trust that the Lord had spoken to us, and that I had to be obedient, and it was important to be obedient, because to be obedient and to go ahead with this marriage would have not only been shameful, which in our culture was a terrible thing, the people talking everywhere about what happened, it wouldn't only happen to Mary, they were going to talk about me too. They were going to talk about me too. But I believed that God was speaking to me, and I believed that God was worthy of my faith and my trust, and so I made the decision, and that's where we went.
That had to be remarkable, Joseph, that all those years of studying the Torah and really applying and learning, but then to have God speak to you and you to respond.
Absolutely. And here I am, a carpenter, an ordinary man. I work with my hands. I wasn't a prophet. I wasn't Moses. I wasn't Elijah. I wasn't anybody like that. I was a guy who built plows, who built yokes for oxen. Yet despite that, I knew that over and over again in the Scriptures, God speaks. God speaks to people all the time. He spoke to Moses through the burning bush. He spoke to our ancestor Jacob through a dream. He spoke to our ancestor Joseph through dreams. And as you know, Joseph was somebody who interpreted dreams. And for me, that was plenty enough evidence to believe that God had spoken to both of us and that it was the right thing to do.
Well, it sounds like you learned a lot from that experience, that it changed you in some ways. What else did you learn from all that?
Well, part of what I learned is that God always has a plan, even when we think that things are going haywire. There couldn't be any worse news for me to come out of Mary's mouth than the fact that she was pregnant. And then there's the whole story about the Holy Spirit on top of that. And all the plans that we'd made, all the things that we said we were going to do, they all seemed to be for naught. It seemed like there was no good that was going to come out of this. But one of the things that I learned is that God can use any and all situations, and often God does use any and all situations. And it still amazes me the fact that I was able to be a part of that ordinary, everyday, work with your hands, Joseph. I was able to be a part of that. I was chosen to be the one to give Jesus his name, to say, this child's name is Jesus. So what I learned was, it's not always about the circumstances, but it is always about trusting in God and listening for God to speak to you.
And you sure did that, Joseph, from one plan of being pledged to Mary. And what a change of circumstances came about, but you were faithful to your teachings. You've showed us what you learned. Joseph, we're here to learn from you today. We want to know what we can learn. You shared with us what you learned. What would you hope that we could take from all this? What would you hope we could learn as we're preparing to celebrate the birth of Jesus? What would you hope we could learn from all of this today from your perspective?
Well, my friends, I must say to you that often in our lives we are in situations in which we can't see God working at all. We don't understand what's going on. We don't understand what's coming next. We don't understand a lot about what's happening. And I was in that situation. I didn't know where to turn. I didn't know what to do next. And I tried to think and do the righteous thing, but it just didn't seem like things were going to work out. But then I heard in the dream the voice of the angel. And I decided that there was nothing that God couldn't help me through. Even this ridiculous thing that God had called me to do. And I think for you, you must never, ever doubt. You must never, ever doubt that God can use you. Because you see, the story of Jesus goes on. It didn't stop with Mary and I. It didn't stop with the crucifixion in Rome. It didn't stop. It never has stopped. It didn't stop anywhere, and it continues on with you. It continues on with you. And if you are willing to allow God to work through you, God will also allow you the same great blessing that God allowed me, and that blessing was to be a part of Jesus' ministry. Even though it was a small part. You know, sometimes we think that, well, God can't use me. God won't use me. I'm not important enough. As I thought, I'm not a prophet. I'm not a rabbi. Why would God use me? But when you look at the scriptures, you see that God uses ordinary people all the time. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. If we who are ordinary will listen, if we will listen to God, and we will be faithful. So perhaps the question that's left for you is, how is God wanting to use me? What role does God have for me to play in the ongoing story of Jesus? What is it that God might be trying to say to me today? If I would listen. You know, I often joke that God may have never spoken to me if I hadn't fallen asleep. Maybe I wasn't paying attention to when God was trying to speak to me during the day. But make no mistake, the story of Jesus is an important story, and you, each and every one of you, have a part to play in that story. And the question that I think you must ask yourselves is this question. What is it that God has in store for me? You don't have to worry about your current circumstances. Think about the circumstances that I was in. A hopeless situation. Seemed like there were no easy answers. Yet God was able to use that to bring about the birth of Jesus. To bring about the birth of Jesus. How is God speaking to you? How does God want to use you to continue the most important story ever, the story of Jesus? That's the question that I'd leave you with.
As our praise team plays, I invite you to allow this message today to continue to speak to you. May God work through that time and through your thoughts.